Bring greetings this morning, beautiful Lord's Day morning. Bring greetings to you in the name of Jesus. I was thinking of the song, What a Beautiful Day for the Lord to Come Again. That song was going through my mind this morning as I looked out at it. I mean, it was just beautiful this morning. And it'd be whiter than snow. Certainly, God's promises is still true that his blood can make us whiter than snow. I'd like to read a story to start and then ask some questions. The title of the story is The Lord's Pig. The Lord's Pig. And again, this message is not a message how to raise pigs, because I don't know the first thing about it. It is not a message of liberty that today we're born again, we are living in grace, and we can eat all the pork we want, however we want. It's not a message like that. But the story is about the Lord's pig. And it was written by David Brousseau in, where I read it was in the book Secrets of the Kingdom. And Deborah and I is, that's his wife and David. It says, many years ago, Deborah and I were looking into starting a microloan ministry in Jamaica. We knew of the great poverty that persisted throughout the island, and we wanted to establish the poor to we wanted to enable the poor to break free from their endless cycle. We had written the Jamaican government and told them what we had in mind. So when we arrived in Jamaica, a government official met with us, and we spent the next several days visiting various villages in Jamaica interior with the government official as a driver. As we got to know the official, we discovered that he was a committed Christian, so we enjoyed good spiritual conversation during our time with him. Our most interesting conversation was about something that happened in his church. The story concerned a poor Jamaican, Joe Williams, and his wife, Natalie. Now, he says this is not their real names. Joe and Natalie were so poor that the only asset through their names was a sow. They planned on having the sow bred and then raising and selling her litter to earn some much-needed money. However, before they were able to follow through with their plans, the sow became very ill. Sadly, Joe and Natalie had no money to hire a veterinarian. The sow's condition became steadily worse, so that the next Sunday, Joe and Natalie asked their congregation to pray for the matter, about the matter. Joe stood up and made a pledge before the congregation. He promised that if God answered their prayers favorably and their sow recovered, they would donate one of the sow's offspring to the Lord, hence the Lord's pig. This pig would be the Lord's pig. Joe and Natalie would raise it, and then when it was old enough, they would give it to the church. The church could sell it or do whatever it wanted with it. The congregation prayed fervently on the behalf of the young couple, and the Lord answered their prayers. The sow recovered, and eventually Joe and Natalie had her bred. After about 3.5 months, Joe started going out early each morning to see if the litter had been born yet. He checked day after day, but no litter. Until one morning, when he went out, he saw the sow lying on her side with a litter of piglets happily nursing. Joe was so happy he could hardly contain his excitement. He just stood there and watched in delight. As his eyes scanned the pig pen, he noticed one small piglet lying by itself off to the side, not moving. Apparently, it had been stillborn. Joe studied the scene for a few moments, and then he shouted to his wife, "Natalie, Natalie, come quick, something terrible has happened." Natalie came running out of the house, drying her hands on her apron. "What happened? Did the sow die?" "No, it's much worse than that." Joe exclaimed. Worse than that? What is it then? Natalie inquired. With enormous emotion in his voice and tears welling in his eyes, Joe cried out, "The Lord's pig died!" Okay. Now, the Lord's pig. As you heard this story, what was your first thought of Joe? Anyone? What was your first thought of this Joe Williams? Okay. What happens? Okay, go ahead. Anyone else? I'm sorry. Go ahead. Okay. Anyone else? Y'all are more noble than I am. I thought he was pretty selfish when I read that the Lord's pig died, not his own. Now, the reason for this message is not that I have arrived in this message, and I will explain a little bit later what this is all about. I want you to know that I am including myself in this because I struggle with this too, very much so. But I'd like to ask us, how many of us have done exactly what Joe did in this story, that we looked out across our life and, you know, we just said the Lord's pig died, and you know what, you understand what I'm saying? That we hold back the best for ourselves and give God the sick one or the dead one or whatever it is. How many of you have done that? Thank you for your honesty, because it is something that we can do or have done in the past without realizing it. I know I have done that. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And we were going to read a couple verses here. Matthew 6, 24 through 34. Verse 24 of Matthew 6, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, or nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body more than raiment?" "Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." The thought I'd like to speak about is seeking first the kingdom of God in our own personal life and then in the life of our family, especially in relation to personal devotions and family devotion and maybe even church involvement here. A lot of times we look at this portion of Scripture as an exhortation to trust God and not be anxious about the things of this life. And rightly so, I think that's right. But this morning I'd like to look at it from a little different angle. Has the Lord's pig died because we haven't given him first place? Or we haven't given him his rightful portion? You know, while being involved in the necessary things of life, do these things consume us? Does it consume all our energy and all our focus and everything that we have? Do they take our time and our energy in such a way that there is no time left for praise and worship of our Lord and King? Some questions for our consideration. How many times in the past week have we skipped our personal devotions because of various reasons? I'll let you all answer that yourself. How many times did we skip our personal devotions this past week? How about the past month or the past year? Maybe it's because we lack the time. You ever sleep too long and get up and it's time to go to work and you just do not have time to have devotion? You ever do that? So, what died? Did the pig die? It did. How many of you us didn't have personal devotions because we had too many personal interests involved? You ever do that? Mm-hmm. How many of you, I shouldn't say you, I should say us, how many of us didn't have our devotional up to date because we had too many things to do? If you're normal, you're probably right there with me. You know, some of these things are very legitimate. Some of these things we could probably do without. But, you know, a lot of times we find time to do the things that we want to do and that are precious to us and that are fun. You know, I've written down here... You know, I love fishing, and I like to go fishing, and you know, I haven't gone white bass fishing this year. Well, I didn't have time, but I wanted to. But the white bass are running. That's the little bass about yay long. They use the white bass and the stripers to make hybrids, but they're running right now, and the crappie are starting to bite. It's time to go fishing. Are we going to use that, allow that fishing time to crowd out God, God's time? And if we do, then the Lord's pig is dying. You know, we realize that the white bass only run for so long and the crappie only bite for, well, they bite all year round, but, you know, their spawning period is only a couple weeks here, so we are kind of, you know, crunched into this time to get out there and get it while the getting's good. But may we not allow our personal interest to crowd out God. It's a very real temptation, and I know it happens in my life. Okay, now, fathers, how many times this past week did we skip family devotions? Again, this past month, how many times did we actually skip family devotions? Maybe it's because we had to leave early for work. We realize that we gotta provide for our family. The scripture tells us that the one that doesn't provide for his family is worse than an infidel. So that is a necessary thing. There are other legitimate work, church work, family time. You know, maybe we decided to go out one evening. At home, we normally have our family worship time evenings, right after supper. And maybe one night we decided to go out to eat. And we may go to Batesville, wherever, yeah. Very seldom do we go to Jonesboro just to eat. But we have already. But if we'd go to Jonesboro or Batesville, we'd go out to eat for a celebration of some kind, or you know, some sort of a celebration. You know, we're good, frugal people. So while we're there, we'll also do our grocery shopping and our other much-needed shopping. I say much because I don't enjoy shopping. But there are some in our family that do. But we do this, excuse me, to save money and to save time. So we think we're getting this together. Well, we come home later than we thought. It's time for the children to go to bed, way past their bedtime. And I'd like to ask you, what do you think gets pushed back on the back burner? It's our family devotions. And the Lord's pig died right there. We did not save him the best of our time. We took it ourselves. You know, maybe you're not faced with these situations, but they are very real in our home. Third question, are the things that are important to God important to us? Are we truly followers of Jesus Christ, as we heard Thursday evening when Reuben Yoder was here, talking about following Jesus Christ? I'd like to read an article, just a short article in the Calvary Messenger. This was in February. It is in the, if I can find it. Observations. Ronald J. Miller was writing this. I think he's from Kansas. This past year, Christmas Day fell on Sunday. I'm not prepared to cite exact statistics because I didn't note them well, but I read somewhere that between 5 and 10% of the churches in the U.S. canceled Sunday services on December 25th. Christmas Day fell on Sunday. I don't know if you remember that. Now, the church of my childhood observed a Christmas tradition of holding a Christmas morning's church service regardless what day of the week Christmas occurred, and that tradition persists unto this day. The clash between giving first priority to family activities or the Lord's Day church service isn't one where we can abstain from casting our vote. He's saying we are involved in casting that vote. One way or the other. We vote with our presence and our absence. This past Christmas was but one example of the many throughout the year where we cast our vote. In conversation with a brother from another state, he reported on a weekend camping trip his family enjoyed with friends from church. Since he feels it is important to be in church on Sunday morning, he left camp with his family in time to be in church. The others elected to stay and return sometime after church on Sunday. I commend this brother for making the right call. It isn't important to know whether this event occurred in one of our beachy churches or not, because it is typical. Now, here's the questions that I'd like to he asked some very pertinent questions here. Here are some reflective questions that I find helpful. What are we communicating when our family vacations and outings are specifically scheduled to minimize conflicts with our work, but that Sundays are fair game? What are we communicating when we cancel or shorten Sunday services to facilitate other activities? What are we communicating when church attendance is negotiable, but social events are not? How do you feel about the fact that there are usually fewer people in church for midweek services than on a Sunday morning? Or maybe you didn't notice because you aren't there. Is it not true that the answer to these questions is that we are expressing our values to our children, to our brothers, and to our Lord? I have a couple more questions here. What about staying home on Wednesday or Sunday evenings because whatever reason? Is my schedule of more importance than church services? What about coming in late for Sunday morning services or any service? Again, is my schedule more important than being on time to worship the Lord? Does my life revolve around my work, or does it revolve around God and His work? Is God's work first in my life and my work second, or is it the other way around? If it's the other way around, if my work is first, then friends, the Lord's pig is dying. Who or what is most important in life? Serving the Lord or serving self? You know, maybe we need to rearrange our schedules or our priorities so that we can attend church services and activities. I want you to understand that I do believe we need to keep our commitments and obligations. We need to work with our hands so that we can feed our family, provide shelter. But let's remember 1 Timothy 6:8, having food and raiment therewith to be content. You know, maybe we don't need that extra truck, that extra trailer, or that extra four-wheeler, whatever. Luke 9:23 tells us, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." Verse 25 is the verse I want. "For what is a man advantaged if he gains the whole world and loses himself or be cast away?" What is going to be the end result of our life if we continue to live the way we're living today? "For whosoever will be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels." But I tell you of a truth that there will be some standing here which shall not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God. Paul's testimony, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest but that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul was concerned about his relationship with the Lord. He was concerned that while he took the time to teach others about God and his salvation, that he somehow neglects his own salvation to the point of being rejected by God. Now, is it necessary to tell others about the Lord? Absolutely it is. But are we so concerned about the necessary things of life? Now, when I say the necessary things of life, I'm talking about the natural, the things we work with our hands, the natural things of life, that we fail completely to take time to sit at the feet of Jesus, receive his strength, his wisdom and grace for the task at hand. You know, I remember, I wasn't there, but I remember hearing the story of a thrashing machine, thrashing crew in Pennsylvania that, this was years ago, they went to what they liked to start very early in the morning, and they tried to do as much as they could in one farm and move to the next one and thrash all the, you know, wheat, whatever they were thrashing. And one morning, this crew was experiencing one trouble after another. Just trouble, 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 trouble. It just snowballed on them, and they didn't get anything done. Finally, the crew leader said, "Stop. We're going to stop right now. We're going to take time to pray to God." He asked, "How many of you prayed this morning?" There was not a one of them that prayed because they didn't have time. So they said, "We're going to stop. We're going to just simply worship God." And they did. And the testimony was, after that, there was no more trouble. Do we have time to worship God this morning? We need to take time. Remember, these natural things are legitimate and good. But if they distract or take away our worship from God, they are becoming a hindrance, that the Lord's pig is dying. Luke 10, familiar scripture, verse 38 through 42 is about Mary and Martha. I'd like to read that. "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving. And came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Do we worship at the feet of Jesus as Mary did? Or are we a Martha? Now, I have a German Bible program on my computer. Well, it's a German Bible version. And for those of you, I don't know if there's too many here that would understand High German, but it said, in German, it said, "Mach dich sich viel zu schaffen, ihn zu dienen." And I'll translate that. It says, she did a lot of extra work to serve him. Now, was that necessary? I mean, this was Jesus, the Son of God. And she was serving Jesus. Cooking. Serving. Taking care of him. Trying to meet his physical needs. And he told her, Martha, you need to... Mary has chosen that better part, and it will not be taken away from her. I'm sure Jesus appreciated that nice china plate and dishware. I'm sure he appreciated the real pretty fixed up food, the different kinds of meat, potatoes, salad, the pies, the decorated cakes she had baked for him, the homemade ice cream, coffee, and tea. I'm sure Jesus appreciated that. But he told Martha that Mary has chosen the better part. It's time to slow down and just let some of those things go and worship God. Take time to worship God. John 6, verse 27 says, labor not for the meat which perishes. Don't spend so much time with the meat that perishes, but for that meat which endureth into everlasting life. Again, 1 Timothy 6:8, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Now, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 29. Through verse 31. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they have none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. I would have you without carefulness. Maybe we'll just stop verse 31. There were some interesting definitions here, and I think I've okay. Verse 30, it says, as though they that buy as though they possess not. In other words, the things we have, as though we, I mean, they're kind of lightly, we're lightly attached to them, very lightly attached to them. Verse 31 says, they that use this world as not abusing it. Now, the word used there is to handle, to furnish what is needed. They that use it or handle the things of this world as not abusing it. It also has the idea of to graze, you know, just nibble at it, or to lightly touch it. That's what the word use has the Greek, the Greek's a definition. To employ this world as not abusing or overusing it. For the fashion of this world passeth away. I thought there was another one. Maybe we'll just leave that. But this morning, I'd like to just encourage us to be lightly attached to this world and strongly attached to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Matthew 19 is a very pertinent example of how not to be attached to this world. Matthew 19, it's the story about the rich young ruler. 16 through 22. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he, Jesus, said unto him, the young man, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and the mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, well, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have a treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I think this young man was strongly attached to the things of this world. And Jesus wanted him to be lightly attached to him and strongly attached to Christ. Where do we find ourselves? Now, I have written down here, how many of us have Joe Williams' problem? How many of us have Joe Williams' problem? Probably all of us, right? I'd like to remind us again of Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's kneel and pray.